Now hit me.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. We're talking with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, and he's an expert on processing meat. And we were talking a little bit about processing venison, and we've got to continue that conversation. Right, Bob?
That's right. And also, don't forget to go to thegrillinguys.com. Check out our links on the right side. Sobey Meats and all of our other wonderful sponsors are there. You'll click to their latest offerings, their sale pages. Sobey's has sales going on like every week. My Pillow's up there. All of our great sponsors are there. Up above that, there's a set of earmuffs. If you're not getting the podcast, click on that. We'll send it right to your device. And then if you miss a week, you've got it on your phone.
Right. So, Tim, wanted to talk a little bit about, finish up this conversation. So, if I've shot the deer and I've taken the hide off, and it's still hanging from the tree, and in this, when it's, you know, it gets down to 40 at night, but up to 60 degrees during the day, it seems like what we're getting right now, how long can I leave that in a tree before I got to leave camp and do something with it, or we got to take it down and cut it up?
Yeah, I would say if you're getting into, let's say you shot it Tuesday morning, so you're getting into Wednesday. If it's been gutted thoroughly, nice and clean, you've rinsed it out, it's opened up to dry. If you had 2 days, you better be wanting to do something with it. If you had to drive back, drop it off to the processor, go back up to deer camp, or if you're that guy that's, you know, you're starting to take care of that meat yourself. And what we'll do, we'll get that hide peeled off. And looking at that deer hanging there, if you were to think of that compared, I know you're going to have jokes on this, but think of that as a fish. And you would want to take the fillets out of that fish, those back straps on that deer. Go down either side of the spine, work your knife down through there, come up from the bottom of that. So it'd be similar to like a boneless pork loin in a meat market.
Right.
Pull those back straps out. The shoulders you can remove with a knife all the way down through the shoulder blade. So we'll kind of take and we'll chunk ours out in camp, bring it back and finish cutting it up ourselves.
Well, sure.
At least now you've gotten it out, get it into a cooler, throw a couple blocks of ice in there. It's nice and cold. You've taken care of your meat. You're either after the meat or the meat and the cape, right? So one or the other. So that meat is gold. It's, I say, it's only about $15,000 a pound. Yeah. When you figure how much beer you got into it, your rifle, and, you know, all that other good stuff. You can't pay it anymore, but when you used to could.
Right. So you're
going to, within a couple days.
Yeah, you're going to quarter that up, right? So in the hind quarters come off. You know, cut them off above the knee. So you've got two hindquarters, you've got the two back straps, you've taken out the inside tenderloins, and then you got the front shoulders, and you're kind of done. I guess you could probably go after some neck meat if you wanted to, but again, that's you're picking between the bones a little bit, right?
Yes, and then if you're not going to process any of that yourself, then I would recommend leave that cape on, because when you get to the processor, they're going to stack them up like cordwood anyway. So that cape is going to help keep the dirt and that off that carcass.
Yeah.
So yep. Then within a couple of days, you're going to want to be making a move to get that down, to get in line, get it taken care of. And if you're going to be up in deer camp, if you're in the UP, that's something different again, right? If you're within an hour or so of home, take that deer, get it off to a processor, and then get back up to camp. At least you're in line to get it taken care of ASAP.
Right. Right, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about recipes. And which cuts of meats to do what with?
Backstrap, you know, those, whether you want to do, you know, a butterfly chop or just individual little medallions. Venison, you know, it doesn't take much to cook them. Certainly, if you were to leave it more towards the rarer side, if you're going to grill, pan fry, sear, however you're going to do that. But when you're ready to take it out, I would leave it more towards the rare side before you're actually going to sit down to eat it. because it doesn't take much to overcook those medallions. The venison doesn't have the marbling in it that beef does. So their tallow is on the outside, doesn't marble on the inside like beef. So it can get dry real quick. So leave it more towards that medium rare side. Get it out of the off the grill, out of the skillet, whatever. Get it on the plate and start digging in.
Right. And we kind of skipped over something, and that's the do's and don'ts. You have spoken before about, you know, you can test out how well you're preserving that body, that carcass, using your nose. You know, what do you want to check for? What kind of odors are going to be danger?
So for that's a great point, and we skipped that over completely. Rule of thumb is you want to gut that animal within 4 hours after it's died. And I could go on, we don't have time on this segment, but it doesn't matter if the temperature is 0 degrees and it's in snow overnight. They're so well insulated, they'll decay from the inside out.
Right.
So if you're in question, if you skin that deer, the flanks, which are right down by the crotch, number one, if they start turning a greenish color, it's soured. Or, as we say, pull the hide back by that leg meat, the back leg meat. If you had to cut into that muscle, just like you're going to sniff on prom night, get your nose in there. If it smells like a dirty diaper, the meat is soured. It's already started to decay. I would just lose the whole animal.
That was like a Joe Biden joke you just dropped there.
At least I didn't smell the hair, okay?
Well, that's important because it's still bow season. And was Saturday night. We watched the Michigan State game. That was, you know, if you're a Sparty, that's a terrible game. Good game if you're Wolverine. But there was a guy that was going to come to the party. His wife came without him because he had hit a buck, and they didn't find it on Saturday night. But Sunday morning at 9 a.m., I get the picture text to me that they had found it. And so he didn't know when it died. But they found it, and my question was is that so the smell test and this vision test is what everybody needs to go through if they shot it at 5 o'clock Saturday night and found it at 9 o'clock Sunday morning.
And there's another way to tell when it died, sort of, in the field, and that's simply by pushing on the meat to see if it's still nice and soft or if it's starting to get firm, you got a problem. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know. Tim, what do you think? Rigor mortis?
Rigor mortis, yeah. If rigor mortis is setting in, you probably lost that animal. But when in doubt, you know, that is the best. The smell test is the best way that I've found. And literally, as I say, within 4 hours, if you're into that 3.5 hour mark, and I've had this proven, so I know this for a fact. It's not hearsay. If you're in that 3.5 to 4 hour mark, you are on the bubble, baby. You better get moving, get it dressed out, rinsed off to save that meat.
Yeah. So in other words, if you wound an animal, you stay on the trail. Don't say, oh, it's dark, I'm going home.
Well, they just couldn't find it, right? I mean, they tracked it till they lost the trail.
That's when you call in the posse. It takes, sometimes I've had up to like 6 or 8 guys helping me on a blood trail because they're so hard.
Yep.
And the more eyes you got on it, the better your odds are of actually finding that animal.
Yep. Yep.
That's when you phone in a friend.
Yes. And that's true. And then let's say if it is that trophy buck, and if you know it was wounded, it hasn't died, it's hard to track anyway. If you were going to go back to get it the next day, if you lost the meat, you can still salvage the cape and horns.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
At that point, yeah. And you hate to lose the meat.
Right.
You know, you'll make a grown man cry, but, you know, I hate to say it, but with deer, you know, it's a little bit different than beef. Beef, it's all about the meat. With the deer, yeah, there's something to be said about having that trophy on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
So at that
well, point, and the experience at least, of just going out and doing it, and, you know, the reason that it costs $15,000 a pound.
Tim right? Sobey from Sobey Meats. We're out of time. It's always great to have you on, brother. And we'll be running in for some meat sticks and jerky before we head to deer camp and some smoked pork chops.
great. Happy hunting to you guys.
All right, Tim.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah. Tim's business is out on Remembrance Road on the northwest side of Grand Rapids. If you've listened to the Grilling Guys at all, you know that he's a staple on this show.
Yeah. Just go to thegrillingguys.com and find his link.
Yep, it's going to be great. But we appreciate you tuning in each and every week and listening to this hoo-ha that we call the Grilling Guys. And if you're going hunting, get out there. Have a great time. Be safe. Only shoot at what you know you're shooting at.
Yeah.
So, take care, and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.